their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day right here on this broadcast, Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you, lest you are a new listener and have not heard me say this before, the format of Let's Face the Issues is designed around the Q&A. We set the stage, we ask the questions, invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. As we do so, we do by the Word of God. We look at the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God as the source book, the truth book, for anything that we say or do. Let me remind you that as we face the issues, we do not base our determination, our thoughts, and our weight on denominational dogma, philosophical rhetoric, or political powers or abilities or strength or whatever you'd want to call it. We base our decisions and our comments on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. May I say to you, I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible in John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that should be the source book for anything that we say or do. May I remind you, even though it might be redundant, as we look at what is happening locally, statewide, nationally, internationally, or globally, we need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say about it? You see, we don't necessarily have to pick up CNN, the Communist Network News, or the network news to find out what is happening. When we see the events on a global basis, see what God's Word says. God's Word is the commentary on what is happening. God's Word is the proof text on what is taking place. We see things happening on a global basis today, rapid fire, rapid pace, that some are exciting, some are frightening, but yet we need to understand God's still on the throne, God's still in control. God is still the Supreme Court Justice. He is the Supreme Court Justice of the universe. And by the way, it's important for us to understand that, because the issue today is, are judges above the law, even above God? Let me restate that. Are judges above the law, even above God? I believe that we have a whole court system today that's based on the fact that there's a feeling among the Supreme Court justices in particular, and many, if not most, of the circuit court justices, that somehow, some way, they make the final decision, they make the final call. There's no recourse, there's no rehearing, there's no ultimate, responsibility before God himself. I find it frightening in our nation today that President Trump has had some 200 plus suits and some 150 plus injunctions what he's attempting to do as the chief of our nation. He's the executive officer. He is the one that is the has the final say-so in relationship to protecting our nation. And yet we have justices on the lower courts and in the higher courts under the auspices of the leadership, the direction of Chief Justice John Roberts. There seems to be an unwieldiness and a mindset that they're going to make the final decision, that it's not the Oval Office, the executive branch, that makes the decision, but it's the judiciary. And I find it a little scary. We're going to talk about that today, and we invite you to call, lest I forget it, during the course of my statements and comments and monologue in particular. After the monologue, the telephone lines will be open. You can dial 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Immediately after the monologue, we'll open the telephone lines and invite you to call, join in the dialogue and discussion. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the truth book, the Word of God. I realize, ladies and gentlemen, that in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says very clearly, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And may I say to you that even though you and I agree that it's necessary for truth, there are those that do not believe that, do not recognize that. In fact, the secularist George Orwell says, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be factually true today. I don't care what coast you live on, the east, left coast or the right coast, truth still matters on either coast and all in between. Yet we have those that disagree and decline the truth. In fact, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. Then we have a whole section of society today, the younger Americans, as it is called. The headline says, most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, out of that age group, 55% say that each person determines their own version of truth. This is the reason I go back to a statement. Now, Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, there's much in his theology that I was not, I'm not necessarily aligned with. But I do proudly quote him when he said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I say to you, that should be our mantra. That should be our goal. That should be the aspiration of each of us today, that we seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn it, love it, live it, tell it, and defend it even to death. May I challenge you, as I do each and every day, with that postulation of what we need to do in truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators, and the staff at Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, they're knowledgeable about all your questions about the power backup equipment. They can answer your questions about professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. And you say, how do I find that? Where is that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flies the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to a statement that I've quoted perhaps hundreds and hundreds of times down through the years on this broadcast. It's in Psalms 11:3. If the foundations be destroyed, What can the righteous do? That's a powerful question. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a foundation that America is built on. But I'm persuaded that America's foundational strength lies in our documents inspired by God, codified by our founding fathers, known as our Constitution. Our Constitution. I believe that most of the answers to the question today is, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, we can recognize that God gave us a constitution, and it was penned by our founding fathers, but I believe inspired from God and God's Word. You can go back through our Declaration of Independence, you can go back through our Constitution, you can go back through the Federalist Papers, you can go back through much of what our founding fathers said, what they did, what they wrote, and their rationale behind it, and you'll find that it has its fundamental, rudimentary, elemental foundation in the Word of God. God gave us a constitutional republic. And ladies and gentlemen, in the constitutional republic, we have three equal branches. I believe it's necessary for us to, and maybe I've said this before, but I believe it's necessary for us to grasp what we have in our Constitution with the three equal, co-equal branches of government. That no other nation on the face of the globe has this. God inspired it, God gave it to us, and I believe that we're in the position that today it is rapidly being dissipated and removed from us. Yes, I understand that God gave us President Donald J. Trump. I understand that he's doing everything possible to drain the swamp and clean the sewer. But I do understand that he has his legs, both legs shackled, his hands in cuffs, and that the powers to be are trying to destroy our constitutional republic. It is rapidly devolving to a democracy where mob rules. But ladies and gentlemen, we have three branches, co-equal branches. Listen, I'm using the term very purposefully, co-equal branches. That means neither of the three has power over the other. We have the legislative branch. That makes up the House and the Senate. Where our laws are deliberated, our laws are debated, bills are passed, and then the governor in the particular state or in the nation where the president signs it, it becomes law. It is the legislative branch. We have the executive branch, ladies and gentlemen. This is the office of the president. He is the ultimate source of leadership. He is the commander-in-chief, as we've heard it called so many times. Now, I understand that the civics lesson that I'm giving today is fundamental. It is foundational. It is elemental. But yet I am surprised at the number of people who do not recognize what is happening in the devolution of our constitutional republic. We have the legislative branch. We have the executive branch. President Donald J. Trump happens to hold the office today in the Oval Office. And then we have the judicial branch. The judiciary is made up of the Supreme Court with hundreds of lower courts under the Supreme Court with the Chief Justice as the head and the one that is responsible for all of the lower courts. And listen, in the federal circuit court system, I've not counted them. I've read document after document. I understand we have about 600 of the federal circuit court judges across America. You remember Barack Hussein Obama in his last months in office appointed, I believe it was 239 federal judges. Joe Biden in his last 60 to 90 days in office, or maybe it was the last 6 months in office, he appointed 250-some-odd federal circuit court judges. Why is that important? Because we recognize by those two, Barack Obama and Joe Biden, we have today a court system that's loaded with the socialist, Marxist, communist, liberal, progressive, whatever term you want to call them, judges that's making decisions. And then it works its way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and it is basically rubber stamped in so many cases. That's where we're going. That's what we're talking about today when we ask the question, are judges above the law, even the law of God? Well, ladies and gentlemen, what happens when and if the Supreme Court decides that they're in control and that their opinions, listen, let me clarify one thing for us before we go further on the broadcast. Supreme Court cannot rule and overrule a law. The Supreme Court can simply make an opinion, render an opinion, and their opinion ought to be based on, is the law constitutional? Not what party is behind it, not whether it's a Democrat or Republican, not whether it is something that they agree with or disagree with, but does it comply with the Constitution? The Supreme Court is to make a decision based on the Constitution as the law is read, as the law is interpreted, as the law is enforced. Is it read? Is it written? Is it interpreted and followed based on the Constitution? That's the responsibility of a Supreme Court justice and Supreme Courts in general. Listen, the Supreme Court cannot, hear me, Supreme Court cannot make law. And perhaps you're asking the question at this point, why should a pastor be concerned about this? Why should Christians be concerned about the courts and the law? I'm going to tell you in just a moment. I could spend the balance of the day on this broadcast going down the list of the decisions been made by local courts, state courts, and Supreme Court in relationship to those things, those laws, those rules, regulations, and laws that are antithetical to anything that's called biblical Christianity. And yet we see somehow, some way, Christians that want to be silent, pastors that want to be silent, a position that we ought not to talk about the judicial system. We ought not to talk about the legislative system. We ought not to talk about the executive branch. We just leave that alone and let God handle it. Yes, God is still the Supreme Court judge. God is still the ultimate Supreme Court justice. At God's bar of justice, there's no appeals court. There's no race card. There's no rehearing. There's no tossing out the sentence. God makes the final decision. And that's what I believe that we need to understand. And what we do in America with our jurisprudence system, it needs to comply with what the Word of God says, God's law. I'm looking at Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and that write grievousness which they have prescribed. And it's talking about the injustice. It's talking about the lawless courts. It's talking about the decisions that are made, edicts and decisions and judgment calls that are made that's against God and against God's word. We need to, and I could go case after case after case through the scripture where decisions were made by judges, decisions were made by political leaders that were detrimental to the God-fearers in the Old Testament and Christians, as we call it, and find it in the New Testament. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Jambler. Hope you're doing well.
Good. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you. I tell you what. Like you said, I'm less than 100. I'm in my 70s. And I remember when I was coming up, we pledge allegiance to the flag. We pray, then pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands. I remember this so well. They are trying to destroy America. I'm sorry, you said not any party, but the Democrats are really trying to destroy us. And I don't see how these peon judges to overrule a president. He's the commander in chief of America. He's commander in chief. How can I say it? There's so much hate for this man. Mm-hmm. There's so much hate. And I remember when Hillary Clinton was running. There's so much hate because they wanted to keep going. I think, and especially these idiots, excuse my language, but that's coming out of these Ivy League schools, what they call Ivy League schools. I fear America is going to fall, especially if they get in power. That's it. They don't remember October the 7th. They didn't say anything. They don't say anything about Hamas doing what they did. They just by the Palestinians. And every archaeologist that went through this area, it's Israel's land. It is their land, and we're going to be cursed if we try to separate, you know, like a land deal or whatever. But I think we're going to fall because God said this is his land.
Absolutely. And one of the things, Kenneth, that we need to focus on and think, I understand what you're saying from the standpoint of the broader big brush picture of what is taking place on a national, international, and global basis. By the way, the globe-trotting trip that President Trump is in now, I believe he's going to come back with a handful of what I would call good decisions that I believe will launch us in a better direction. But at the same time, we have the naysayers sitting back at home saying he's doing this and that's wrong. We need to find out what he's doing. How much is he making? How many hotels is he building in Saudi Arabia, et cetera, trying to find fault with it? This is the reason I find it so sad that we have Justice John Roberts, Chief Justice, that I believe has an animus for President Donald J. Trump. Let me read this. Get your take on it. Headline says, John Roberts doesn't deserve your deference. The first 100 days of Trump's presidency marks a well-earned honeymoon, but the next 100 days will test whether the marriage can survive, especially with unruly offspring like justice, judicial overreach, and the MAGA infighting threatening the union. Take Chief Justice John Roberts, for example. In a recent interview, he claimed the judiciary, that's the courts, the judiciary, is independent from the other branches, yet also insisted it has the authority, quote, to strike down both laws and all executive actions. So which is it? Are judges independent? Or are they unaccountable gods with a little g? That's the whole point. So the point is that I ask you, Kenneth, should a judge have the final decision to unilaterally make a decision, render a judgment that counters the other two branches, the legislative and the executive branch? Chief Justice John Roberts says that his branch, i.e., the judicial branch, has the authority to strike down executive orders and to change or to cancel or to nullify anything that the president does. What say you?
I tell you, not a young blood. Like you said, I'm less than 100 years old. I'm in my 70s. But I tell you, this is my first time ever seeing this happen in our country. I remember we signed the 10 Commandments on the bulletin board. And I remember I had to go to the bathroom. I think I was in sixth grade. And this guy had a pencil, one of the big pencils that come out of Washington. And I went to go steal it. And when I looked up, the first thing I saw, "Not to not steal." And it scared me so bad, I ran back out for recess.
Absolutely. That's one of the things. By the way, it's a separate issue, but one of the things that's taking place today across America, state after state are integrating into the legal system the requirement for the Ten Commandments to be found in every classroom and every school. Several of our states have already done that. And one of the things that I think is necessary is get back to the rule of law, God's law, the Ten Commandments, if nothing else,
yes,
and be able to have open Bible study and prayer and pledge to the flag in our schools. If we were to just simply return to those rudimentary, fundamental, elemental facts like that, I believe it would change the trajectory of America overnight. But Kenneth, it deserves our prayer, deserves our recognition, but it goes back to the Psalms 11:3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It is the righteous that I believe needs to take a stand and say what is said and what needs to be said. I believe it's necessary for us to understand that God's word, God's law, should take precedence over anything and everything that the court system may say or attempt to do. So, Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for your call. And we need to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. The question is today, are judges above the law, even above God's law? I'm looking at a headline, ladies and gentlemen. It says, Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts takes a veiled shot at Trump again in a rare public appearance. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts took a veiled shot at President Trump Monday during a remarks at Georgetown Law. This is the third time that Roberts has publicly rebuked President Trump in recent months. Chief Justice, this article reads, Chief Justice John Roberts described the rule of law as endangered and warned against trashing the justices, but speaking in Washington Monday, he didn't point fingers directly at President Trump or his allies for publicly exhorting or excoriating judges who ruled against aspects of Trump's agenda. I believe we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, what we have, what we're faced with is the foundation. Listen. I have a pretty good background in construction. I know what it takes to build a house, to build a building, a restaurant, office building, et cetera, et cetera. It takes a solid foundation. You try to build a structure with a weak foundation, the structure is worthless. We're built on a solid foundation, and that foundation is our Constitution that I believe was given to us by God Himself that gives us a solid constitutional republic. But we're witnessing the evisceration and the deterioration of our foundation, and it's being done through the court system. And I've got before me case after case after case after case of judicial decisions that's antithetical to Christianity and spiritual things. The courts have ruled that doctors, for example, this is the apex of the Biden administration, the courts ruled that doctors must do abortions or they cannot be approved by the medical association. The courts ruled that boys can enter the girls' bathrooms, locker rooms, and shower rooms. Ladies and gentlemen, it is something that we need to recognize affects Christians, spirituality, our churches, and the household of faith. The courts have ruled that Christian cake bakers must make products that are against their moral conscience and their belief system serving the Lord as Christians. And I could go on and on and on. I believe we have James on the line. James, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, real quick, I know how busy you are. A terrific, terrific program. I would remind the listening audience that if they haven't read C.S. Lewis and the conversation, the 31 or 34 letters between Wormwood and his uncle there, and that book was written in 1941, I believe, but the conversation and the fact that the two demons, the senior one and then the junior one, he was being explained to that the need is to keep them in a fog or in a state of worried about or pensive, anxious about the future, and remorseful over the past, and just keep them occupied. Well, why would we do that? Well, because their communication with, and C.S. Lewis referred to God as the enemy because he was representing two demons in a conversation or letters to one another, and observations, because that's their communication. That's how they speak to him. And they're the enemy, their supreme leader believes in love. Well, of course, the demons didn't. But the whole idea was keep them in a state of confusion, or as I say, people that need another cup of coffee or a long-haul truck driver gets drowsy. I think that the general public right now, and I'm part of it, is tempted to get into that because of all the distractions, all the noise, all the distractions, all the screens, everything vying for their time. And Jesus is quietly there waiting. I love you. I'm here for you. I am your rock. I am your foundation. And we don't take time to pray on our knees and give glory and ask him. And I would say this as well. In regards to the Supreme Court justice that's doing this, he's a human. He's imperfect. And he, whether he believes it or not, he'll never come out and admit it. He does. He has a little Napoleon complex or a God complex with a little G, that I am the big man with the checkbook, and no one's going to do anything to the Supreme Court other than what we allow them to do. It's the weakest of the three branches of government, by the way, and you know that.
Absolutely.
In the Constitutional Republic. But we
Absolutely.
Need to take over the way we once did. These laws and these things are for our benefit, all of ours.
James, we're at the top of the hour, hard break for our news. If you'd like to hang in there right after the news, let's wrap up our conversation about this if you have time to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL St. Augustine, and W.